See y'all here today. Welcome. And got some announcements to make. But first, how long will this go on, right? If you think I guess that's all I gotta say.
I know it's gonna be good.
If you think being excommunicated means that your cell service has been interrupted,
tell you it's going to be good.
You may need to go to church a little more often. All right. I've been excommunicated. All right. Where are we here? Okay. March for Life. You know, in May, on May 13th, March for Life. So I probably ought to get a sign-up sheet on that. Who wants to be a sponsor and who would like to participate in it? Maybe hang that up there. That's probably what I'll do. But anyway, be thinking about that. May 13th from 5 to 7:30, funds will support the Rose of Sharon. And also in May, I think 15th, yeah, because that's a Friday, so it would be the 15th. Stanton is going to be here. The ladies group raised some money for Stanton, right? And they raised some money, and Stanton is it's a mobile ultrasound facility that goes to, mostly they park in front of Planned Parenthood and try to get the girls that are going in there to go into their place first so they can, you know, see that they actually do have a baby within them. And they do this totally free. And the Rose of Sharon has been affiliated with them for quite some time. But our ladies, they had fundraisers or whatever it was, and they sent some money to support Stanton. And the director of Stanton got a hold of me and said, we'd like to bring our unit to your church and let the people see, you know, what we do. So on, I believe it's going to be May 15th, they're going to come here. I'm not sure if they may come for the service. I'm not sure what, you know, we're still talking, but they will definitely be here for after the service, and then you can actually go and check out their facility and all that. So it's maybe Stacy will be a live model for us. You know,
experiment.
I'm pretty sure she's pregnant.
Yeah, we're pretty sure she's pregnant. Yes, but didn't need an ultrasound to figure that out at this point. But
how about kidney stones?
Kidney stones? They may be able to help you there, Harvey. I don't know. But anyway, but they will be here. So I'm going to get that on the calendar shortly. But anyway, they are coming as well. So those two things are happening. And then, of course, the baby shower. And we put the new updated flyer in there for you today. Because the first one, some things changed. So if you had the first one, throw it away. Second one's more up to date. All right. So that's in there for that. Membership class, sign up over there for that. And then the Sacred Assembly is this evening. And I don't know if Nappy is still sick. Nappy was sick, but I know they were going, and Juan and Beatrice are going. So just see me after the service. Or if anybody else wants to go to that, see me after the service. I'm going to have a quick meeting just to make sure how everyone's getting up there, and if you got the address and all that stuff. And that's at Barstow, at First Baptist Barstow, at 5:30 today. And be in prayer for that if you are not going. I pray you take some time today and pray. We're going to be going as a group before the Lord on behalf of our nation, nation, state, community, the church. We're going to be praying about abortion, about all the issues, the gender thing, all the stuff that where our country is just going in the wrong direction. We're going to be praying about all those things. And so, but do be in prayer, especially around 5:30. In fact, my wife and I, if my wife is able to go, she's apparently still not feeling the best today. But we're going to be praying on behalf of the abortion situation. That is our designated topic for prayer. And so that's this afternoon. Anything else? Any other things? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, looks good. Yeah. All right. So Pat will be back for a time. All right. It is time for tithes and offerings. So, is this the guy? Is it on? No. Not yet. Hello. There it is. Hello.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and worship in your name and give you the praise and the glory, Father. Father, I just ask that you bless those who give today, and you bless those who can't give today, and you bless those who may be far away and see us through the Internet, Father. If they want to donate, that's fine. If not, that's fine also. And we thank you, Father, for your Son, and we thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Something about that name.
our scripture today. It's out of Hebrews. I'll be preaching out of 2 Timothy today, but scripture is out of Hebrews 10, 20 through 25. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the day he's talking about, there's the day of the Lord. And the topic for today's message is about the last days and having faith. And that's why, you know, it says in here, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Because you know what? As things get closer, faith may grow weak, and we need to be prepared. And that's really the basis of the message today, is to be prepared. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you because you are the great mighty God. You are holy, just, perfect. And Lord God, you have a plan for this world. And Father, help us as we go forward, Lord, as your will be done in our lives as we face the things that are going on this planet, Lord, and the things that affect us internationally, nationally, regionally, and just even in our own homes, Lord. Help us to stand strong in our faith, Father. Help us, Lord, to never waver, but to totally trust in you. And Father God, we come before you today singing because you are the great God. You're the glorious God, and we praise you. We lift you up. You are our rock. You're our salvation. You're our provider. You're our safety. You're our shield. And we thank you for all that you are to us. And we ask you to bless this service, Lord. Encourage us. Help us, Lord, to understand your times, Lord, as you deem them out here in earth, Lord. And we worship you, and we praise you, and we thank you, for you are God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Make sure in a couple of weeks that you're ready for Easter, because the choir's been working real hard, and they're sounding wonderful. So come in, listen to our Easter special and join us as we sing to the Lord for his praises. Join us today as we sing The Old Rugged Cross. With the automatic changer in there.
Okay. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Forsake me here while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
When darkness tries to rule over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken, oh, I won't be shaken.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
To hide, I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance.
Power that can empty out the grave.
chance when I stand in your love.
Well, as the song says, we stand in your love. Greet somebody, tell them it's good to be in the house of the Lord.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes the way. He hung up on that cross, and he rose up from that grave. My God still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Well, there it is.
No, that's the one you just gave me.
Behold, Jehovah, seated on the throne. Abba, Father, the well that overflows, the God who was and is and shall be. Thank you. the God who was and is and shall be forevermore. Holy is the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Blessing and honor and glory and power. Jesus, the Word has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption has a name, and it's Jesus. Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. Victory has Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Blessing and honor and glory and power. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Blessing and honor.
So, kind of had a little bit of a rough start, didn't we? The songs that I know really well, sometimes I shut my eyes and I'm just singing them and I forget that the slide has gone forward, you know, only. So, and then I found out our praise team don't know how to clap together. We had people doing this at the same time people are doing this. And then John couldn't find his music. And so we are human, aren't we? We are all human. And because we're human, the Bible gives us a lot of exhortation. I love that verse in Psalms that says he remembers we are but dust. And he knows our, you know, Jesus actually became one of us, and he knows how the flesh can affect us. And so I praise the Lord for his His willingness to be one of us so that we know we have a God that totally understands us. He's the Creator, but He was also one of us. And that's the part that's just kind of hard to fathom sometimes. But I read that passage in Hebrews because it gives us advice on what to do in the last days. And what, you know, with Easter coming up, I'm kind of relating things to Christ and the cross and that kind of thing. And what Christ accomplished on the cross, you know, we talk much and rightfully so about salvation and about forgiveness of sin. You know, all that was accomplished there on the cross. But it was more than just salvation of our soul from an eternal hell to go to an eternal heaven. It's also salvation about this life. And we're going to get into that today. And we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the whole chapter. And it's Paul talking to Timothy, but he goes into some prophecy here in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And I call this being perfect in perilous times. And in verse 1, it talks about in the last days, perilous times will come. And then in verse 17 at the end, the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that's where I got the title. And how do we be perfect in perilous times? And so we're going to look at this, and it's really just two parts. It's 1 through 9, as you see on your outlines, and then 10 through 17. And so let's look at this, and let's just get in. You know, verses 1 through 9. It's perilous times described. Paul is going to describe what the last days, you know, are going to be like. And we know it's the last days he's talking about it because he says it right there in verse 1. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And so then he goes into the next 8 verses. He's describing what perilous times are going to look like. And there's other places in the Bible that describe it as well. We know that, you know, Jesus said, hey, is in the last days, you know, it's going to be like the days of Noah, you know, where there's wickedness everywhere and, you know, all that's on their minds are evil. Well, you know, it's pretty, a lot of that going on, right? A lot of people, that's kind of where we're at. So, you know, and this is just Paul's, under the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote this for us. It's directly for Timothy, but it's obviously in the Bible, so it's for us. And so let's look at this. So verses 2 through 5, we have ungodly attributes. Ungodly attributes. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Is it going to hit? This is an unusual day. Oh, it's the bass. Bam. Boom. Yeah. Yeah, better have your, make sure you know the Lord. If you had some doubts, see me after the service, and I'll work with you. Man. Okay. So we have these things. I'm going to go through each one of these things just briefly. No, I don't have a five-minute thing on each one. Okay, let me rest. Help you rest. But think about the times we live in. I believe these are the last days. I don't see how. I could be wrong, you know. But man, I just don't see how this world can just keep going. I mean, it's just crazy, and we see evil just rising up like never before, globally, and we know that the last days, you know, that describes the last days. Now, God is God. I don't put him in a box. I believe he could bring out a revival, and, you know, and put this thing off for another 100 years or whatever, but, man, I just don't think so. You know, that's just me, but all that to be said, these things Paul wrote, and see if this is not describing really how people are these days. A lot of people are this way these days. And so in verse 2 we see men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that's talking about conceit. It's talking about selfishness. Have you known a more selfish generation? I mean, this is incredible. You know, you can't even use the wrong pronoun at me. And I want you to lose your job. I want you to be decimated. I mean, that's where we're at. And, you know, selfishness, conceit, you know, it's all about me. I mean, why do we have the iPhone, the iPad, the iPods? You know, have it your way. You know, so, you know, I want it exactly my way. And it just feeds right into our, because let's face it, I was talking with somebody, I don't know if it was this morning or another morning, but we're all selfish. We all want it our way. Some people are more vocal about it than others, but, you know, you get somebody aside and said, hey, how do you want it? They got an idea how they want it. You know, our flesh goes that. You know, we want things our way. A boaster. It says, lovers of our own selves. Covetous. Covetous. That's wanting what someone else has. That's not like saying, boy, I'd like to have something like that. No, they want what you have. And, you know, look at these people going into stores. And they just throw, you know, 12 o'clock in the afternoon and throw a brick through a window and go in there and clean them out and walk out of there. And don't think nothing about it. And law enforcement basically endorses it almost. They're just, you know, they're not doing anything. And then if they do something, the district attorney says, I ain't going to prosecute. And so, you know, but the covetousness, people saying, you know, that couple in Missouri, you know, they got in trouble because they stood there in front of their house, and the people were out there chanting, I'm going to live in your house. I'm going to sleep in your bed. A boaster. People that lift self up about things they don't even possess. You know, they just lift themselves up, and anybody that's with them, they're like, you know what? You're a hypocrite. You think you're all that, but you're not. Proud. Someone that looks down on others. Oh, you're just not woke. That's what they're saying. As if you're some scum. You know, you're brain dead. Blasphemers. Now, we tend to think of blasphemy. That's typically only a word we think about God, somebody slandering God, in a sense. But it really applies to people. You can blaspheme a person. All it really means is to destroy one's good name. If you say evil things about God, that's blasphemy. But you say evil things about a person that's not true, it's blasphemy. You're tearing down their good name. If they are indeed a good, if they have a good name. Problem is, today we got people that say good is evil and evil is good. So, you could be doing something totally evil and there's people out there saying, oh, these guys are great. But I'm talking about real goodness versus real or evil. And good people are being torn down. I like this. Disobedient to parents. Isn't it interesting that God lumps that in with covetous, blasphemer, lovers of their own self, covet, not without natural affection, truce breaker, false, all these things. He puts in there disobedient to parents. And what this is talking about is being hard, stubborn. There's a lot of young people out there doing these things in the streets, and I guarantee you their parents aren't down with that. Some of them might be, but I guarantee you not all of them. They're probably ashamed of what their kids are doing. And they're probably sitting there thinking, man, I sent them to a $50,000 a year school to learn this. Or $100,000 a year or whatever it is these days. I'm probably out of touch. But disobedient to parents, they won't listen. They won't listen. Unholy. Unthankful. Excuse me, I jumped one. Unthankful. Speaks for itself. This is not a thankful generation. This is not a thankful time on earth. People are not thankful for anything. They all think they deserve something. If I deserve it, I'm not like real thankful when I get it, because why? I deserved it. And we see it on all kinds of commercials. Get what you deserve, whatever it may be. Instead of be thankful for what you have. Unholy. That just simply means wicked. Wicked. Wicked people. And, can you believe they're passing laws where you can just let this baby die? That's what they're wanting to do. In Maryland and in California, the law is being pushed right now. They disguise it. Perinatal. And you've heard of prenatal, right? Everybody probably pretty familiar with that word, meaning before it's born. Perinatal, meaning slightly before it's born, but up to 28 days after birth is what that means. So if the person doesn't want their child, they could throw it in the dumpster. And it's actually against the law for the police to prosecute them, because if they do, they can be sued. That's in the law. Now, is that evil? That is evil. And that is right now going through our legislature in California. So the cops aren't even allowed to investigate. Verse 3, without natural affection. That means no love for family. No love for family. Look what's going on in our country. They're telling us we don't even have a right to teach our children the way we want to teach them. They're trying to break up the family. They're saying that the children belong to the state. We can do whatever we want. There's no love for family. You know, I'm sure they love their family, but they're, you know, what we got people going on right now in our government is the heights of hypocrisy. They protect their own, but they don't care what they do with others. Truce breaker. In other words, they refuse to make peace. I talked with someone. I was talking to, I think it was the ladies here on Thursday. I go in there and razz them a little bit when I come in. No, I would never do that, right? But, yeah. But I was in there and we were talking about, I was talking to them about that I had a discussion with another person and we had totally two different points of view. And then we went out and played golf. You know, and I think it was Sue said, oh, you mean you can, and like, you know, I mean, we were diametrically, and this was a theological discussion, and we were diametrically opposed to one another's views on this particular, I mean, you know. And she goes, you mean you could actually argue with someone and then stay friends and go out and play golf? And I'm like, yeah, you know. Because in the big scheme of things, on that particular subject, doesn't really matter. You know, one of us is right, or maybe neither of us is right. I don't know. But, you know, it's not Christ. It's not about salvation. You know, those kind of things I don't compromise on, but on other things, you know, there's a lot of different positions on things. And this truce breaker basically means refuse to make peace. And boy, do we have that going on. You know, if you're not woke, you're an enemy. And if you're not backing that up, you know, you need to lose your job. You need to, again, you know, what are they saying right now? You know, if you don't get the shot, and where you're at on the shot, I really don't care. Okay? You're for it, you're against it, whatever. But I don't think if you don't agree with my position that you shouldn't be able to buy food or work. You know, and I hate you forever. Man. Refuse to make peace. False accusers. A slanderer is what that is. That's just flat saying a lie about somebody and hurting them with it. You know, with the intent to hurt. Sometimes we lie about people innocently. I mean, we think we know and we're wrong, and we're not, that's why God says you're not supposed to talebear, okay? But there's people that they're just maliciously calling. I mean, look at anybody that stands up, you know, in the public and stands for something good, and they are just assaulted. People that, you know, you ever get on this, like, this High Desert website or whatever that thing is where people just, you know, and somebody will do something and then people will get on there and just blast them. I mean, my wife just goes, look at this. You know, it's as if those people never made a mistake and they're just being blasted. False, you know, you don't even know these people. How do you know why they did what they did? How do you even know? And you're just tearing them up. Now, I like this next one, incontinent. Anybody here incontinent? No. But actually, that's what we think of, you know. That's what we think of. But what the word literally means is lack of self-control. That's what it literally means. And when Paul was using it, it wasn't about, using the facilities. It was about lack of self-control. I've never seen such lack of self-control in people. I mean, they just can't stand it. If you go against them or something, they can't just talk with you. Man, they want to kill you. They want to shout you down. Road rage. There you go. Probably stepped on some toes there. But just a lack of self-control. Fierce means savage. There's some savage stuff. I mean, in these riots like in Portland and other places, what, they poured gas on that one guy and set him on fire? Is that not savage? A despiser. Despisers of those that are good. Well, I think that kind of defines itself, doesn't it? Anybody that tries to stand up for right, tries to stand up, they just want to shout them down, slur them in any way possible, bring them down. Verse 4, traitor. Literally means giving into the enemy's hands. I saw a really disturbing survey. They did several of them. And they said that if the question was, if we were invaded, what would you do? What would be your response to that? Over half the country said they'd run. Oh, you don't love your country anymore than that? It was like 60% or something said they'd run rather than fight for their freedom, rather than fight for God and country. That's a shame. Traitors, that's who they are. You're going to run? You're a traitor. You're just giving in to the enemy. You're just going to let the enemy just take you out. Heady means rash. In other words, doing stuff without even thinking. High-minded. Drunk with pride. Heart lifted up against man and God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Boy, we are a pleasure-seeking society. I mean, it's just incredible. And unfortunately, it's kind of permeated into the church a little bit, or maybe a lot. Because it says having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's a lot of people in our government that say they are either Christian or go to church or whatever. And yet they consistently enact laws and vote for them that go totally against the Word of God. But they say, so-and-so was in church. I mean, we used to see them all the time. Remember the Clintons? They'd be in church. And I'm like, really? Probably get banned from Facebook. Oh, well. I'll really lose some sleep on that. But, the Obamas went to church till you found out what their church preached. Death to America and, white people, That was from their pastor. As he's a pastor, I'll put quotation marks around that guy. Oh, I should have clicked. That's what 6 through 9 is ungodly actions. Oh, I haven't got there yet. I'm doing good. But he says, you know what? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. You know, they look, in other words, they look good. They say good, but they don't have the power of God working in their lives. In fact, you can see whose power they're counting on. From such, turn away. So we have ungodly actions, 6 through 9. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive. Now the King James says silly women, so now ladies don't get shook up yet. I'll explain what that means. It says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now stop right there. I'll do 6 and 7. The word silly in there, it literally means foolish. I guess silly meant something different in 1611 than it does now. But it literally means foolish. And it says, they go into the houses and they lead a captive, foolish women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And we got all kinds of people just following after the Pied Piper. Very educated, but very stupid. Yeah, they're very smart. And yet, the stuff they're doing does not make me think of intelligence at all. And it says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith. Now, Jannes and Jambres, okay, people are going, who's Jannes and Jambres? They are the magicians that stood before Moses. When Moses said, turn the water into blood, and then the Bible says the magicians turned water into blood, and then Moses said this, the magician. But then there came a point when the magicians couldn't do it anymore. They did a couple of the miracles that Moses, well, God actually performed through Moses. But Jannes and Jambres were those Egyptians that were standing against Moses. And it says, these also, so in other words, listen, don't think it's all over because, you know what, yet all these people out here are doing some things that are flying in the face of what is true. Okay? But what he's saying here is, you know what? These are these people. They're men of corrupt minds. They're reprobate concerning the faith. Okay? And that word reprobate means a mind to be abhorred by both God and man. I mean, whoever came up with that bill to let babies die and not, you know, that's a reprobate. Whoever you are, if you see this, you're a reprobate. God, I mean, you're a really big person, a helpless baby. You want to do nothing about it. It is abhorrent that this even comes up for a vote. But I love verse 9 because at least it gives me a little glimmer as to what God thinks. He says, but they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. Who's theirs? Jannes and Jambres, the magicians. So these, whoever these people are, these reprobates, these people, their folly will go so far, but they will go, there will be a place where that folly ends, even as Jannes and Jambres was exposed. They couldn't do it. So perilous times described. And I think it's pretty accurate, these verses, about what's going on in our world, our country, but the world as well. But praise the Lord, because the next word in verse 10 is but. Okay? There's all this bad stuff, and yes, it's there, but. Okay? So we go from perilous times described to perfect truth delivers. Perfect truth delivers. But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. There will be persecution. Okay? That's the next blank. There will be. But here's the thing. He says, you've fully known my doctrine, which is teaching, my manner of life, his lifestyle. What did Paul do? How he lived. He was always seeking God's will, doing God's will, and then carrying it out. Even to being stoned, shipwrecked, in prison, whatever it was. His purpose, reach the Gentiles. His faith, share Jesus Christ. His long-suffering. That word long-suffering literally means the opposite of the other one. I can't find it. But it means self-restraint. Instead of lack of self-restraint, it literally means he had self-restraint. Paul, he had a little bit of a fiery temper towards things. If he didn't have self-restraint, he wouldn't have been a very good messenger for God. You got to have some self-restraint and patience. Patience, endurance with hope. You see, that's what patience is. It is endurance with hope. You're not just enduring going, this is just the way it's going to be. No, we got hope. We got confidence. We know that God is going to do. He's not going to let this go. God is just and he's holy and he's not going to let it go. But he did say times are going to get really hard. And so we know that, but we can do it. We can go through it and serve him in the midst of all that. Endurance, patience. But there will be persecution. In fact, verse 12 says it. Yea, and all that will live godly, okay? All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Doesn't say may suffer. Doesn't say might suffer. Doesn't say could suffer. It says all that will live godly. Now, if you're not living godly, they're not going to persecute you. You just go along with whatever they say. Of course they're happy. But when we stand up for what we know is in this word, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Listen, we are not promised peace. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace to this world, but a sword. We have peace with God. When we accept the sacrifice that we're celebrating here in a couple of weeks, and we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we got peace with God. But there will not be peace on this earth. There's always going to be persecution. Just, read the history books. Christians have been persecuted from the beginning. You understand the devil hates you? And he's got plenty of his little minions to help carry out that stuff. And he's warning us right here in his word. Yea, All that will live godly in Christ Jesus. You notice how none of the other religions seem to get jumped on? But if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, look out. You are going to suffer persecution. We are not promised peace. Religious liberty is not promised to Christians. Persecution is. Sometimes I think Christians worship the Constitution more than they worship the Bible. We're already seeing how effective the Constitution is right now, aren't we? It's good words, and it works if people get on board with it, but you know what? This word stands forever. That Constitution will be gone one day. Maybe sooner, maybe later, I don't know. But this stands. This has stood for 2,000 years. Many have tried to stamp it out. What was it, that one guy in France predicted the Bible would be extinct in the house. And he was one of those philosopher guys. He's well known. I don't remember his name, but might be Descartes. But now they use his house to make Bibles. I find that interesting. Might have been him. I don't know if it was him, but there was one of those guys predicted that, and that guy's house became a place where they made Bibles. This word will last. And we gotta quit. I mean, it's great we have rights right now, some. But, you know, they can be taken away. But think about, this book was written, the New Testament was written when Rome was in charge. Wasn't a whole lot of freedom there. And yet the Bible is about what? Freedom. Because you know what? They could tell Paul to stop talking. And they throw him in prison and he talked in prison. You know, there's no reason we cannot, you know, if they say you can no longer talk about Jesus, you can still talk about Jesus. The most they can do is kill you. And then I'm with God. Remember my statement, can't threaten me with heaven. Can't threaten me with heaven. But you know what? We got to have faith. The faith to stand. Because the persecution is here, and it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, if it gets better. Again, I don't know if this is the end times, but it's certainly bad times. So there will be persecution. In verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, it's interesting. They do, don't they? I mean, they say these things and you know they're deceived because people are just buying into it and they're totally deceived. They deceive and they are also deceived. You know, they're already believing a lie and then they go around and tell other people the same lie and then those people believe the lie. And we've got a whole world out here believing a whole bunch of lies. So 10 through 13, it's just telling us it's going to get worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There will be persecution. Verse 14, but there must be perseverance. This is for us. He says, but, he's telling them, look, you've known the doctrine, you know the lifestyle, you know Jesus Christ, you know what it's all about, you know there's going to be persecution, okay? And it's going to be really bad. And it says, but continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. That is the mandate for us. You know what? Yeah, it's going to get hard, but we need to continue. That word continue means like to persevere. You keep going. You keep doing what's right. He says, you continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of. What have you learned? Well, I've learned that Jesus Christ died for my sin. If nothing else, I've learned that. That's why I'm celebrating in 2 weeks on that specific. I mean, I celebrate every day that I'm saved, but you know, that's our special day, the resurrection, the victory that Christ had over sin and death on our behalf. And he says, you continue in those things that you have learned and you have been assured of. You know what I've been assured of? Heaven. I've been assured of that he'll never leave me or forsake me. You know, I've been assured of his goodness, his kindness, his mercy. I've been assured of his grace. I've been assured that, you know, he can keep me from falling. And when it looks really hard and dark, we need to remember those promises and remember that God doesn't lie. He cannot lie. We can persevere because of the Scripture's assurances. We can keep going. The Scriptures provide a path. He says, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That word salvation, it means deliverance and preservation. You know, he doesn't just deliver us and then we die or something, you know, later. He delivers us and preserves us. It is talking, this word doesn't, it's not just the spiritual context. It's both material and temporal deliverance as well as spiritual and eternal deliverance. It's both. I mean, rightfully so, we focus, oh wow, he saved me. Yes, but you know what? He saves me here right now. You know, he delivers me from things in this world. And the Scriptures are what provide the path. He says what? From a child you have known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to these things. Make you wise to salvation. How do you get there? Through faith in Jesus Christ. But you get saved, you look at the Scriptures, you read them, and they speak to you. Like never before, never before when you were saved can you get truth and help like you can after you're saved. There's people that read the Bible, they're not saved, and they can find some good principles in there and live by them. And those principles work in their life. But they're never going to know the deep things. They're not going to know the things that only the Spirit reveals to you out of this Word. But it does provide a path. And the Scriptures are our provision. All Scripture. From Genesis to the first word of Genesis, in the beginning, to the last word of Revelation, amen. Okay? Every word is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. It does us good. It helps us. It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine just simply means teaching. People say, well, share with me some doctrine. And they're like, whoa. No, just mean, what do you know out of the Bible? You could say something like, thou shalt not kill. That's doctrine. Okay, you learn that. Okay? Shouldn't steal. You should forgive. That's all doctrine. You know, we tend to think, you know, we put doctrine out there and we're thinking, whoa, this is going to be some heavy thing. Well, there is heavy doctrine, if you want to call it that, you know, deeper doctrine. But all Scripture is doctrine. It's teaching you something. It's just teaching. Reproof. That word means conviction. You know, when you've done something wrong, you know, maybe you treated somebody wrong, you said something, and then you get convicted, you know, you get convicted and you're like, man, I need to go tell them I'm sorry. You know, I need to ask them to forgive me or I need to make that right, you know, whatever it is. And maybe you didn't do it on purpose. I'm not saying you went out there and did it on purpose. But once you realize that something wasn't right, you begin to be convicted about it. The Bible will do that. You start reading it and you're like, whoa. You know, you can read a whole passage on forgiveness and then God and the Holy Spirit bring it to your mind. Well, you know what? You've been holding something against that person for a long time. And you just read it in the Word. And the Word is beginning to bring conviction in your heart. And if you're really a believer and you're really seeking to please God and you're really trying to do what's right, you won't be able to rest till you make it right in some way, shape, or form. I mean, you gotta take care of it. Doctrine, reproof, correction. Correction. It means to set or make right. You know, sometimes we got something in our life that's just not right, and maybe we're even ignorant of it. We don't even realize it's wrong. And you're reading the Bible, and then, whoa, it's wrong. Well, I need to make a correction. Need to do something different. Need to either stop doing something, or it could be like an omission. Wow, I haven't been praying. I need to make a correction. I need to start praying more. You know, I need to build my relationship with the Lord through prayer. Correction. For instruction in righteousness. And that word instruction, it's not just like, oh, okay. Here's a passage and, you know, you need to learn this. It's partly that. But you know that word instruction actually has within its meaning chastening, discipline, a spanking. Okay? The Bible, you ever been spanked by God? You know? You ever been spanked by the Bible? I definitely have. You know? It'll spank you. And for all the people I'm already in trouble with, spanking's good. Keeps you from doing worse stuff. I'm just a little rebellious today, aren't I? I don't know. I tell you, I thank the Lord all the time. I got all the beatings I got. I'd have been a mess. My dad hadn't have corrected me. Whew, I'm bad enough as it is. My brothers and I, we laugh about it all the time. We wonder where we would be if we hadn't have got spankings. Probably jail or dead, one or the other. But this word will chasten you to make right. That's what that's talking about. Instruction in righteousness. Think about it. How do you train a child to do what's right? Well, you got to pay the price for when they do wrong. That's part of the instruction. Part of it is actually instruction. You know, I used to take my kids and sit there and tell them why I got to do what I got to do. I make them understand. I'd say, you understand? Yeah. You know, because they know it's coming, right? I remember I might have told this one before, but the guy that took his kid out to spank him in church. And as he went out the door, he was taking him into the bathroom because he was acting up. And as they went through the door, the little kid goes, I know. How did he put it? You have no choice. You have no choice, as they went out the door and everybody just busted up, you know. It's like But you know what? Kid came back and behaved the rest of the time. Kid behaved the rest of the time. Instruction in righteousness. So the scriptures are our provision. They provide all these things for us. And that's why it's so important to know the scriptures as much as you can, to be in the scriptures so that you know them. Because you know what? One day we may be like some of these other countries. They can't get one of these. And you're going to be left with what's in your brain. think about it, you're going to be left with what's in here. To wrap it up, we can be perfect. He says, all this scripture is good. Why? That the man of God or woman of God, that the child of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that word perfect means complete and sufficient. It means fitted. You know, like if you got a vehicle and you want to make it go through mud properly, you know, where it won't get stuck very, you have to fit it. You know, you outfit it, sort of. You get those bigger tires and, you know, I've got a Jeep and a lot of people fix those things up and, you know, I haven't fixed mine up at all because, you know, what Jeep means, just empty every pocket. But, because people put a lot of bucks in those things, you know, to make them do whatever they want them to do. But that's what it's talking about. They're trying to make their Jeep perfect to do the purpose that they're supposed to do. And the Bible, it says, you get into the scripture that the man or woman of God may be perfect. You may be fitted. You may be set up. What? So that you'll be thoroughly furnished. It's almost a redundancy. You're ready. You got all you need. What? To do good works. And what are good works? Whatever God said you should do. You know, I mean, obviously we have the things written in this word. You know, don't lie, don't cheat, you know, those kind of things. You know, love and love your neighbors yourself. Those are all good works too. But then there's also the works that aren't in the Bible. You know, you're not going to find in here, oh, yeah, John's supposed to play guitar. Picked on you, huh? Yeah. You know, I mean, you're not going to find those good works in here. But when you're in the Word of God, you can be led into good works. Service to our Lord. We have, with Scripture, we have everything we need to obey Him. He provides for us. What's that little saying where God guides, God provides, you know? So I don't want this to be a total downer, like, yeah, the world's, you know, whatever. I mean, but we got to face reality. We see what's happening. But He gives us the answer here. Be in the Word. Be about, you can't do, you know, we can do limited things. We can share with people, you know, what we believe according to the Word of God. You know, what these people are doing when they're burning stuff or whatever. It's not right. Why? Because of the Word of God. You know, that's why we know it's wrong. Killing people, that's wrong. Okay? So we share what we believe according to the Word of God, and we do what we can do. Like vote or whatever, but in the end, we do what God tells us, regardless of what's going on out there. Because that goes up and down. Sometimes they're better and sometimes they're worse. That goes up and down. Word of God never changes. And we've got to grab a hold of what God has asked us to do and go forward. Whether things are really bad or not so bad, we go forward. We do those things. Easter is a time when the Christian thinks about Jesus and His work on the cross. And that work provided the one and only means of salvation. And that's Jesus Christ. Faith. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. And once you've done that, you have heaven. Heaven is yours, but also you have deliverance here as well. In different ways. for different people. But Christ did more than that. He also made it possible for the Christian to rise above the persecution of the world and serve the Lord all the way to the end. You know, why was Paul writing this letter? I mean, this was the last letter. The last one. In fact, in the next chapter, he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the faith. I'm done. I've done all I can do. I expect to be executed shortly. And according to the history, he was. He was executed for his faith. So, but he served all the way to the end. And you know what? That's what we're supposed to do. Jesus, he did his Father's will all the way to the end. Went right to Calvary, right? And then came back. And then was here for 40 days ministering, you know, showing people, hey, what I was telling you was real. Told you I was going to come back. And here's what I want you to do. We can do it too. I don't like what's going on any more than you do. But you know what? I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. All the way. All the way. It's a decision we make. Because the Spirit works in us through the Scriptures. And we can indeed be perfect in perilous times. And we can glorify God even when everything's fallen apart. Perfect in perilous times. Hope you'll make a decision today. Just because that's what it is a decision. Just that, you know what? I am not going to turn away from my God ever. I don't care what they do to me. I don't care where it takes me. I am going to serve Him. And whatever that looks like in your life. But it's a decision you make. So when you make that decision, then you go to Him. And I'll tell you, you know, when you make a decision like that, God holds you to it. I made a decision, gosh, 30 years ago. And I said, God, whatever door you open, I'll step through. And God has tested me on that over and over again. I've done a lot of things I never thought I'd ever do or ever want to do. But you know what? In my flesh, I feared it. But when I did it, God blessed, and it made me stronger. You know, it just made me better. You know, taught me some things that I would have never learned otherwise. His ways are higher than our ways. We say those things really easy, but living them is different. So you have to be intentional. You have to make a decision. I'm going to do it. And then when it comes your way, in faith, thank you. In faith, do it. You're not my wife. You're not supposed to finish my thoughts. But with that, we just praise the Lord. Because He furnishes us to all good works. He really does. There may be someone here today, I don't know. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not thoroughly furnished to all good works. And you may need to make a decision. The times are perilous. And you may need to make a decision. For the rest of us, are you in the Word? Are you in the Word? And are you willing to let God lead you in whatever area it is, whatever? You know, I found when I read in the Bible, you know, it's not always easy following God. I mean, I'd like to be able to say, yeah, accept the Lord and you'll have a nice life the rest of your life, you know, be all comfortable. And just read Ezekiel sometime and what God required of Ezekiel. How would you like to lay on your side for 390 days? You know, that's over a year. And you're like, what? Sometimes God has his people do crazy stuff and stuff that's not comfortable. But he has a reason for it, and we got to remember that. But are we willing? Are we willing to just say, okay, you're leading me this way, I'm going to do it. Will we persevere? And will we stick with it? You think Ezekiel on about day 341 wanted to stop? Sure he did. Then God told him to roll over and lay on the other side for 40-something more days or something. I'm just shooting from the hip here. But, oh, gee, thanks. Oh, you're giving me new instructions. I'll roll over and lay on that side. You know, God was using Ezekiel to show Israel something. And you know what? God wants to use us to show this world something. Whatever that may be. And we should be willing. We're to be living sacrifices. Praise the Lord. If you all stand. Is there anybody here today would say, you know, it's just, anybody here, it's invitation time. Are you saved? Do you have Christ in your heart? That's the first thing. If you don't have that, you've missed the whole thing. Anybody like that? I just realize I'm not. Anybody like that? I realize I'm not saved. Anybody like that? For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I think I need to be in the Word a bit more? I'd like prayer about that. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. How many would say, I need to be maybe a little more prepared for the persecution in case it comes? Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you, and Lord, you've done everything on our behalf. You created us, you provide for us, when we sinned and separated ourselves from you, Lord, you made a way for us to get back through Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. And then, Father, once we even accepted you, Lord, we had so much to learn. And you have so much truth in your word. Help us, Lord. I pray for these that lifted their hands, that they realize they need to maybe know the word a little better. Maybe need to be in the word a little more, Lord. Lord, I pray that they would intentionally set aside time to do that, Lord. And they would seek your face in a greater way through the scriptures. And Father God, help us all to persevere as things may get tighter and tougher, Lord. Help us to persevere. Not turn from the left or to the right, but to always go forward right in your footsteps. And I pray for these, Lord, that raise their hand. Lord, take away their fear. I'm sure there's some fear. I'm sure there's some doubt in some of those hands being raised because they know what's right, but they're doubting their own ability, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that they would learn to rest in you and learn that it's your strength that's going to carry them and not their own. Father, I just praise you for who you are. And so, Father, as we pray here, move on hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. You deal with the Lord. God, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. Father, you are our rock. You are our high tower. You are our shield. You are the one that controls all these things. And Lord God, help us to see our part in your plan. And Lord, help us to trust in your word in a greater way, to be in your word in a greater way, to be an obeyer of your word in a greater way, Lord, that it would be pleasing to you and that we would be able to serve you, Lord, as you have desired. And we will give you the praise and the glory over all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.